Welcome to our service. My name's Gillian. I'm the minister of the Scots Kirk in Lausanne, and this is the fourth Sunday of Pentecost. If you're a regular worshipper with us, you will have in your hand our opening responses and Psalm number 13. If not, you've just got time to grab your Bible. You're all very, very welcome to worship with us today. We begin with our opening responses. And you'll see on your sheet that you must join in with the Amen. And because you've only got one word to say today, then I expect it to be really loud and really forceful. So let's come and worship God together. We meet in the name of God, creator of the universe, source of true humanity, mother and father of all. Amen. We meet in the name of Jesus, word made flesh, Saviour of fallen humanity, lover of all. Amen. We meet in the name of the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, midwife of new humanity, inspirer of all. Amen. Come then, eternal God, be present here, befriend us here, renew us here. Amen. As you know, we've been going through the Psalms over the last few weeks. And so this is our last Psalm for just now, Psalm 13. And the translation is from the Message version of the Bible. And you're invited to join in where it's in bold type. Long enough, God. You've ignored me long enough. I've looked at the back of your head long enough. Long enough I've carried all this trouble, lived a life full of pain. Long enough my arrogant enemies have looked down on me. And so we say together, take a good look at me, God, my God. I want to look life in the eye, so no enemy can get the best of me or laugh when I fall on my face. I've thrown myself headlong into your arms. I'm celebrating your rescue. I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm so full of answered prayers. Amen. And now we come to our first hymn, and it's number 484 in the hymn book, Great God, Your Love Has Called Me Here. And I've sent you the verses so you can sing whichever one you choose as Deirdre plays for us. Let's come to God now in our opening prayer. Let's pray. Welcoming God, we come to you as we often do, knowing that you're waiting with open arms, ready to welcome us, your family, here in this place. Welcoming Jesus, so often the recipient of hospitality and yet willing to sit with anyone, saint and sinner alike. We come to you knowing you are prepared to budge up and let us sit with you. Welcoming Spirit, so often hidden from sight and yet so large a part of any gathering of God's people. We come to you knowing that the whispers of welcome are all around us. Knowing we are welcomed and yet knowing that we have not always been deserving of that welcome. Your wide arms of grace, O God, are too much to take in. So when we come with our heads dipped in shame, you gently lift our chins, gaze into our eyes and say, "Welcome, child. So good to see you." Lord, may we never take this for granted. Try harder to live up to your gracious welcome, accept your love, and in turn offer that same love and welcome to all whom we meet. Lord, gracious Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. And now a word to the children. Have you ever been the new person? Lots of us here in Lausanne have been the new person because we've come, many of us, from another country or another part of this country. How does it feel to be the new boy or girl in school, for instance? You don't know your way around, you don't know anyone. And here, if you don't speak very good French, you're a bit afraid of even asking someone. Try to think for a moment how it feels to be new in a place and how you felt the first time you went to school or nursery or to a new group or club. Were people friendly? Did someone help you and show you what to do? Did the others tell you their names and introduce you? Were you invited to join in or were you ignored and left to yourself? How did that make you feel? It's not a nice feeling, is it? Imagine if someone new came to your church. How might you make them feel welcome? You could say hello, tell them your name. You could shake their hand or give them a hug. Well, could we do that? Not really. We can't do that just now. So it's even harder to be welcoming at the moment and make people feel good about coming along to church. What is it that we want people to know when they come for the first time? Well, we want them to know that we care about them, that we're interested in them, that we want them to come back, and that Jesus loves them. So we have to be even more good at welcoming people when we can't shake hands or sit close together or even give them a cup of coffee in our hall. What can we do? We have to be the smiliest people in the world. So here's your homework for today. Have a good look in the mirror and see how big your smile can be. Draw a picture of everyone smiling. And then perhaps we can make sure that people who come and are new know that they're welcome. And we can talk to them and introduce them to others. We can tell them how much fun our Sunday school is. We can ask their name and tell them ours and ask if they would like to play with us. When things get better and we have no more virus to worry about, we can invite them to share a cold drink or a coffee and a chat in our hall. We are kind of ambassadors, and an ambassador is someone who represents their country. We have to represent Jesus, and that's quite an amazing job to have. But we don't just have to represent him in church, because we're not in church all the time. We need to represent him wherever we go, and always be kind and welcoming as he was, especially when someone is new and feeling a bit lost. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. You can say it in any language or in any form that you like. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Our next hymn is 204, I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. And it's one that reminds us that we are all Jesus Christ's church. James will read for us.
The first reading comes from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 to 23. You must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives, Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time, remember you've been raised from the dead, into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in freedom of God. So since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I am using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom, your lives healed and expansive in holiness? As long as you did what you felt like doing, ignoring God, you didn't have to bother with right thinking or right living, or right anything for that matter. But do you call that a free life? What did you get out of it? Nothing you're proud of now. Where did it get you? A dead end. But now that you've found you don't have to listen to sin to tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise. A whole, healed, put together life right now, with more and more of life on the way. Work hard for your sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. The second reading comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 to 42. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward.
Let's come to God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord of all, bless us as we turn to your word. Grant us ears to hear your voice in the stillness, eyes to see the way ahead for us, and hearts to love as you would have us love. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you run a restaurant or a hotel in the UK, and I suspect it's the same in many other places, you have to be constantly on your guard, because you never know the day when someone will come along posing as an ordinary customer, and then only after they've been served their meal or stayed the night do you discover that in fact they are some kind of inspector of such premises, or reviewer, or some sort of critic. And so you have to constantly be on your guard. Your business cannot afford you to have an off day. In our previous parish in rural Aberdeenshire, we lived right around the corner from the most wonderful Michelin-starred restaurant. It was expensive, but it was absolutely without fault. Or so we thought. The chef and owner became a good friend, and we worked together on various charitable and local events. I baptised his baby, and we ate in his restaurant on special occasions and at weddings, funerals and baptisms. On one occasion, we had some good friends visiting, and we'd been raving about our wonderful local chef. It was our friend's birthday, so we booked a special meal to treat them. The food was lovely as usual, but the service was not quite up to scratch. And at the end of the meal, while we were chatting and finishing our coffee, The staff began to clear up some time before the restaurant was due to close. We felt pressed and awkward that we were still there and holding them back. In that moment, I remembered that Craig, the owner, was on holiday. The standards had slipped because the boss wasn't around. He would have been furious. He was renowned for being a fair but tough boss who paid well but expected loyalty and high standards. I didn't have the heart to tell him, but I should have, because I could have been that one critic that ruined his business. Just one bad review can spell disaster for a business like that, and Craig knew that. What is our welcome like here in church? What's the quality of our message? How do we come across to other people at the door or as they sit here in their seats, joining us maybe for just one service as they pass through to other places? What kind of impression do we offer individually to other people? And are we always consistent? No, of course not, because we are human. And sometimes we're grumpy or short with folks. Sometimes we're less of the person God wants us to be. Goodness me, we need to be constantly on our guard with everyone because of what we stand for. Has our attitude ever put someone off coming to church? People often think that the most important person in the church during a service is the minister. Well, I'm here to tell you that is not the case. Thank goodness. Yes, we all have to do our best, and I try to do that. And as I said to the children, it's even more difficult in these days when we can't use a handshake or a hug or a kiss or even sit next to someone in a companionable way to make them feel less alone and more part of our family. The most important person is, in fact, the one that people meet as they come in the door. The quality of that welcome is what will determine how they approach the whole service. I've been to services where the preaching has been wonderful and the children's story engaging and the prayers insightful and spiritual, but the welcome at the door was cold and the person handing out service sheets was busy talking to someone else and didn't take a moment even to smile at me and share a word. I sat down feeling that I had made a mistake. On the other hand, many years ago we were members of a church where the minister was not really the best preacher in the world and where things weren't always as polished as they might be. And for me, the theology was a bit challenging. I knew we would never agree. Perhaps that was a good thing, but when we arrived in the village, we were welcomed and invited to that particular church. We were embraced as a family, and on our first visit, we were warmly welcomed at the door. Things were explained to us, someone made sure at the end of the service that we were escorted to coffee and tea, and the children were introduced when we arrived to the person who took the Sunday school. On the way home, we discussed whether that would be our church, weighing up the pros and cons, and decided we really had no choice. We had already become part of their family. We recently threw caution to the winds and took a wee trip to Basel or Bâle. And of course, visited some of their wonderful museums. We saw hundreds of paintings, including some by the celebrated artist Picasso. I confess to being a Philistine when it comes to art, and although I like some very avant-garde artists, I do find Picasso a little difficult. Interesting, yes, but even if I had the money, I don't think I would put one on my living room wall. However, I find the man himself fascinating. And one of the things he said that really stuck with me was that there is no such thing as a finished painting. It was always a work in progress. And that should be an encouragement to us all, alongside the fact that our God is a forgiving God, of course. Our welcome, our services, our very characters are always a work in progress. We always have room for improvement. When my children were young and at school and it was time for report cards, I was delighted if they came home with statements that said how clever they were. But the thing I was really looking for was the amount of effort they put in and their attitude to school and learning, their teachers and their peers. A reading from Romans tells us that we've been set free from sin through the forgiveness that God offers us in Christ. And that is such a wonderful, liberating idea. However, that places obligations on us. Obligations that guarantee our continued freedom and the freedom of those others that we have influence over. And so we each have a choice. We each have a choice as to who is the leader, the master in our life. Do we choose freedom with God? Or are we trapped in a way of life that does not bear close scrutiny? A way of being that considers only the self and its needs. You know, in the UK, there's a group of people who travel around worshipping in different churches. Mystery worshippers, they call themselves. And then they review their experience and they publish it. How would we fare if a mystery worshipper came here today, or any other Sunday for that matter? The boss has left us in charge of his message. The menu must be wholesome, the service good, but the welcome is what people will remember when they go home after worship. We are a community of imperfect people, and we will never be the finished article until God receives us into his arms and makes us so. But in the meantime, we can use our freedom well to help each other, encourage each other, walk the walk and talk the talk with each other. Our companions on the way are all at different stages, but our job is to leave no one behind. Our fellowship, the Christian people of the Scots Kirk Lausanne, ambassadors for Christ, and also always pilgrims on the way. Let's pray. Lord God, help us to discern what you want of our lives and to take your way in the decisions which shape those lives. We know that we're not quite the finished article, and so we thank you for your offer to companion us closely in the choices we have to make. We have only one life to live. Decisions cannot be reversed. So give us each, we pray, your promised companionship, for you know better than we do what we are made for. May each of us hear you say at the end of our days, "Yes, that is what I wanted from your life." Amen. Thanks be to God. The people's prayer today will be delivered by Lindsay McTeague.
Let us pray. Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has untied our burdens and healed our spirits. We lift up the prayers of our hearts for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the world. God of welcome, we thank you that you are always ready, waiting to welcome us, always waiting to spend time with us and hear what we want to bring to you in prayer. This prayer could be an endless list, and there will be situations missed and people escaping our attention. But we know that you are able to see beyond our limited memories and hold all that pains creation with us and for us. We are so consumed by the effects of a virus that many situations have gone unnoticed. We pray now for those in our world who feel forgotten, for refugees in camps, not only worried about when their lives might take a better turn, but now also fearful of this invisible danger, for men, women, and children behind closed doors, living with danger and torment at the hands of people who profess to love them, for people living with life-limiting conditions, relying on reduced levels of care, fearful of catching this virus, and worrying that their treatment will be limited. For those in the background in caregiving services, the cleaners and cooks, the administrators and managers, doing what is needed to ensure hospitals and care homes run smoothly and safely. For places of conflict where, with attention elsewhere, dangers are increased and tensions raised, and where deaths continue unheeded. For countries experiencing natural disasters, earthquakes in Mexico and plagues of locusts in Kenya. For people suffering a bereavement, comfort them and let them know your loving presence. So many places, so many concerns, Lord. Hear our prayers that we may love you with our whole being and willingly share the concerns of our neighbours. Amen.
Now, I know if you're listening at home, it's very difficult to bring your offering, but we don't just offer our money to God, we offer our very selves. And so today, we will dedicate our offerings of money, whether we're in the church or whether we're at home, and we'll rededicate ourselves. So let's pray together. Lord, we bring to you our offerings, our money, our time and ourselves, not as payment for something given, but out of adoration and thanksgiving for all we have received. So take what we offer and who we are, bless them to the work of this church and your kingdom. Amen. Our closing hymn today is 198 in the hymn book, Let Us Build a House. And I've sent you the verses. You can sing whichever one you choose. And it's a hymn, of course, about welcoming and about welcoming everyone who comes through our doors. So now we come to our blessing. Go to live, be counted, and serve God today, tomorrow, and always. And may the blessing and love of Almighty God go with you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.